This is Wake Up Call.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On the SportsMap Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. When you need certainty in the home buying process with a loan that fits your life, Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver. Here's Tony D.
Hey, it's a good Wednesday to you. Thanks for joining us. It is Wake Up Call. Tony D, Ron Culver. So there used to be a saying, I don't know if they still use it anymore, but March comes in like a lion and goes out like a lamb. And when I was younger and I grew up in New England, that made a lot of sense because in New England at this time, you could still get storms and heavy wind and freezing temperatures and snow, and it could feel like winter. But by the time you got to the end of March, spring was about ready to kick up a notch. You could feel it in the air. You could feel like it was the weather was starting to turn. Yeah, you could still get a late storm, but that's basically how March would go. Now, ever since I started living in warmer climates, that saying has no bearing. Like, if you live in Florida, it's like, March comes in beautiful and goes out maybe even a little more beautiful. That's basically how it works. But in sports, March can come in roaring, like in college basketball, where they're gearing up towards the conference playoffs and tournaments in college basketball. And then it leaves into April like a lamb because April owns the entire month. I mean, just owns everything. It's got the draft, the playoffs, everything. But yesterday was a perfect example of college basketball coming in like a lion. There were two top 10 matchups in college basketball yesterday. You had Baylor going on the road to face West Virginia. And then you had this big Big Ten battle between Illinois and Michigan. Well, one of the games lived up to the hype and the other game didn't live up to the hype at all. But college basketball doesn't really work like college football. The higher-end matchups, these big must-see games, don't lend itself to notes that you can take to see how a season is going to be affected. We'll discuss that a little bit. Also, J.J. Watt apparently really likes weather, and that's one of the reasons he chose Arizona. But there are some other reasons he chose Arizona, and there were some other people that may have had an influence in J.J. Watt's decision. I will tell you who those influences are. Also, one of those games yesterday in college hoops was Baylor. And for the first time in 71 years, Baylor has won the Big 12 regular season championship. 71 years they have not won the conference title. They have had an amazing 16-year run since Scott Drew took over. The story of where the Bears were back in 2003, that's coming up in the show as well. Want to hit us up at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That's Ron with two N's as we continue. Thanks for joining us. Wake Up Call.
Listening to Wake Up Call on the SportsMap Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Home loans that fit your life. Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, receive a $5 rebate by trading up any non-contact thermometer towards an Exergen purchased at any retailer. Accuracy matters. Exergen is the only thermometer proven accurate by more than 80 clinical studies. Research shows no-touch thermometers miss many more fevers than they detect. With COVID continuing to spread, that's a risk you can't afford to take. Details at Exergen.com. All right, so yesterday there were two college basketball games, and we're getting like late in the season now. So now we're starting to not only figure out who's going to get into this tournament, but now we're actually discussing who will be the number one seeds. Now, I don't like getting into those conversations until we get to the tournaments, the conference tournaments. I know that, look, Gonzaga is going to be a number one seed. It doesn't matter if they have an early exit. But, you know, when you're talking about Baylor and Michigan, now Illinois is in the running, and Alabama, you know, there's all these conversations of who could be a number one seed. I don't think Alabama will make it, but, you know, there was a time where they were in the conversation. Let me get a little bit more meat on the bone in terms of the conference tournaments before I start making those assessments. But yesterday was one of those nights where you had two top 10 basketball matchups. And, you know, like, it's again, it's early March. We're getting towards crunch time. So these kind of have a level of importance. The problem is there were four teams, and all four were in the top 10. And if you liked one of the teams to win it all, if you were a, you know, Baylor fan or you're leaning towards Baylor, They didn't do anything. They won in overtime against West Virginia. Didn't do anything to sort of dissuade that at all. West Virginia, the same thing. Illinois, especially. And Michigan, despite getting blown out, they're still legit as anybody else. And why is that? Because college basketball has the quirkiest, strangest, weirdest, but most fun playoff tournament in all of sports. You throw everybody in and let's see where it goes in a single elimination format. The knock on college basketball has always been this, and you've heard it many, many times. I don't like cliches, but I'll use it. It's college football has the best regular season, the worst postseason, but college basketball has the worst regular season and the best postseason. That's been said since I was a kid, for crying out loud. And it's true in that I watched both of these games, and I have no outlandish takeaway from anybody. You know, Michigan was the number two team in the nation. Illinois was the number four team in the nation. Michigan was a team that I was touting and telling you, if you're looking for a team to pick in your pool this March, Michigan has everything. Last night, they had nothing, absolutely nothing. They got blown out at home by Illinois, who's playing without their best player. And you would watch Michigan, and it was the only time you saw them, you'd say, my God, this is not a top 10 team. How in the world were they all fooled? What were all the other 18 victories on the season? What were they like? How did this team, you know, go and win convincingly the previous week and then lay an egg in this very big, very important game at home? But the problem is it's not really an important game. And that's at the crux of the problem of college hoop. College football benefits from a two versus a four. If that was an SEC showdown in November, you stop everything, you watch it. I don't care if you're an SEC fan or not. There are so many implications that would be on the line for a game like that. Can't afford to lose once or even twice with the college football playoff, et cetera. All the things that we say every single fall. But college basketball, I like Michigan yesterday, and I still like Michigan today. Because that tournament, there are too many elements of the way you can win in that tournament that had nothing to do with Michigan getting blown out last night. None. Right? They still, when they're on, have great guard play. They've got a big guy in the middle that's fantastic. It is still all the same things that we talk about everybody else. You can throw on the Wolverines. Juwan Howard has a job to do, and that is get his team to either, one, forget last night at all, forget the fact that they were blown out, never in this game. Illinois came out strong, stayed strong. Michigan never even made a run. Or two, he can let them grow on it, let them learn from it, let them watch the tape, let them figure out why a team that had come into this game with such an amazing amount of momentum, they upended Baylor and became the number two team in the nation behind Gonzaga. They were starting to wake up people around the country. And they were, again, playing a team that was without its best player in Ayo Dosunmu. And yet, how does Juwan Howard will go about this? I have no idea. But the overriding, the point of this is to not nitpick two kind of regular season basketball games that are sort of very interesting and important to a more regional area. I don't know a lot of people in the Pac-12. I don't know how many people who live out west are glued to Michigan, Illinois, or even in where I live in SEC country, glued to Baylor versus West Virginia. Maybe just the diehard college basketball fans that just kind of want to see good regular season games. But the point is that college basketball has never been able to present you regular season games that carry an amount of weight. Other than trying to hook you into a rivalry you may not be a part of, like Duke, North Carolina, there are no regular season games that carry any sort of level of importance when they hype it up. You could legitimately say, I don't live near Michigan. I don't live near Illinois. I don't even watch Big Ten basketball. I'm a Big 12 fan. I just like my local college, and I don't really care about Baylor. I don't care about West Virginia. I live in Vermont. But you would in college football. You see college football fans around the country sort of go, yeah, I may not live in the SEC, but LSU, Alabama is a big deal, right? Because there are implications that just reverberate around college football. When you get a big top 10 matchup, and I know the playoff is four teams and sometimes a conference will get two in, but a lot of times those big regular season games in college football between a 1-6 or a 2-7, if it should happen to be like that, means someone's going to suffer something, right? Someone's going to suffer something. They either may not play in their conference championship game, which could have implications towards the playoff, or it may be their second loss, and that may be it for their chance to make the postseason. But a 68-team tournament, Michigan could still be a one, and we would completely forget this debacle even happened. And Illinois has a chance to be a one. And if they do, you might remember the night, again, without their best player, that they went to Michigan and throttled the Wolverines, who everybody was jumping up and down, including me, saying, watch them. They're probably the best team in college basketball right now. I mean, Kofi Coburn was fantastic last night. Trent Frazier hit a three that erupted the bench for the Illini, and you could hear it because the arena was empty. All right? And Franz Wagner wasn't very good. Isaiah Livers wasn't very good. Dickerson in the middle wasn't very good. Michigan got nothing. Their leading scorer last night was Eli Brooks. He had 11 points. He was the only Michigan player in double figures in a huge game. The Wolverines looked outmatched. They were out-physicaled, if that's a word. I mean, the Fighting Illini came to show up for the largest game. But in the end, what was the largest game? Meanwhile, Baylor and West Virginia, I was really excited for it because I like West Virginia as well. I didn't like them as much as I liked Michigan. But this was a Baylor team that had a chance to win the conference championship regular season title for Scott Drew and the Bears. They had suffered the loss to Kansas. They were looking to bounce back. And early in this game, they looked great. They looked great. But West Virginia kept pounding at him, and a double-digit lead went away. And then Baylor had like a 5-point lead at halftime, or a 4-point lead at halftime. And then they went back and forth in the second half, and went into overtime, and Baylor won. Now, this is one of those games, too, right, where, okay, so now what does Juwan Howard do at Michigan? He's got to figure out how he takes this loss, how he teaches his kids something from this loss. If you're Bob Huggins, you don't do a thing. If you're Bob Huggins and you lose like this in overtime to a Baylor team that was ranked number two in the country for most of the season and now number three and will probably go right back up to number two again, you don't do a thing. You got a legit basketball team in Morgantown. If you pick West Virginia to win the whole thing, that's legit. That's a legit pick. That's not trying to take one of those kind of mid-level seeded teams and hoping for the best. That's a legit pick. Baylor's probably more of a safe pick, but West Virginia is a legit pick. But again, here's a matchup that college basketball presents itself, and it was early. It started at 4:00 my time yesterday. Here's a game that was presented early. Watch number 3 versus number 6, but it has no other implications. It's just basketball. Baylor isn't going to do much with this, and West Virginia isn't going to do much with this either because of that tournament. Now, don't get me wrong. I love the tournament. I love it. It's fun. I love it. I've always loved it. I think most of you out there are the same boat. We all love it. I've never heard of anybody complain about the tournament. You know, it's so funny. In college football, we legitimately have debates about whether or not it should be expanded to 8, right? I know football and basketball are totally different sports. It's apple to oranges. I get it. But you can have a legitimate debate between two people that have got their facts straight whether or not the college football playoff should go to 8 teams, 6 with 2 byes, or just stay at 4. There are legitimate points to be made. I think in the college basketball tournament, if they came out tomorrow and said, "Yeah, we're going to figure out how to make this 96," people would go, "All right, just let me know how the bracket looks on my paper. Don't make it too small. I don't like, you know, I don't want to read it with reading glasses, but yeah, go ahead." Legitimately, I don't know if, I mean, I wasn't around enough to have a discussion about the 32-64 expansion 40 years ago, but I don't think anybody even cares that those games in Dayton at the beginning of the tournament. They're like, all right, sure, it's just another bracket I got to fill out, so just tell me where it's supposed to go. And that's it. Because it's so different, and it is so unique, and the best team doesn't always win, and it's not set up to sort of eliminate the bottom feeders. It allows everybody an equal opportunity. If you're a on-the-line 16 team, meaning you don't have to go to the first four, if you're an on-the-line 16 seed, you have just your obstacle to get to the title is as good as anybody else's. You just have a harder run, but it's the same thing. You know, the NBA, you got to win best out of seven all the way through. And you got to go on the road. And you got to, so you don't get home court advantage. So you're at a disadvantage right off the bat when you're an eight seed. You don't get to play all your games at home. You got to be at their place for the certain amount of time. College basketball is like, nope, everybody goes here, everybody goes here, everybody goes here, then everybody goes here. And if you can manage through that, go ahead. So two basketball games, hugely important in terms of the matchups and the entertainment factor, but both games never really gave us anything to chew on. All right, coming up next, J.J. Watt announced why he was really liking Arizona. It made nothing to do with the football team. We'll have that for you coming up. It is Wake Up Call with Tony D and Ron Culver.
This is Wake Up Call on the SportsMap Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us on Twitter at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver, that is Ron with two N's. As we continue, it is Wake Up Call. A weak battery could leave you stranded, so don't take a chance. O'Reilly Auto Parts will test your battery free of charge. If your battery needs to be replaced, they are professional parts people can help you find the exact battery that fits your car or truck at a guaranteed low price. Make sure your vehicle is prepared for the weather ahead by getting your battery tested for free at O'Reilly Auto Parts. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. All right, so J.J. Watt said yesterday that he found Arizona to be the team for him. Now, one of the things he said was he liked waking up and having it be 65 degrees outside. That's a cool thing. I would like that, too. It's a little nippy where I'm still here in Nashville. I know the hell weather is coming very soon. But it is nice when you wake up and it's a beautiful 65 degrees. But it's not going to be like that forever. Ron, you lived in Arizona, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's not going to be 65 in the mornings in July.
No, but it's a dry heat. Which is, I mean, honestly,
same with my oven, but I don't put my head in it.
Honestly, though, I having experienced both, the dry heat, I mean, it's not as bad as the humid that we get here in the South. Humidity is terrible.
I married my wife in Florida. She was a Florida girl, grew up in that area of the country. But right after we got married, we lived in Las Vegas for 3 years.
Yeah.
And we knew, like, we would go visit family in July. We had a family reunion in Myrtle Beach 1 year in July. And I remember just being like, this is the soupiest, wettest, yep. Like, it was really hard. I mean, it was a good time. We were on the beach and everything, but we played golf. And I remember just covered. When we landed back in Las Vegas and I got out and it was 115, I remember going, oh, this is much better.
Yeah, it's not as bad.
This is much better.
The one thing that I never could grasp, though, and I'm assuming you had the same issue, was I'll never forget the first time we got there. I think we were living in Arizona like maybe a day or two, right? And we decided to go out to eat. And we went to a restaurant. We went in, and it was still daylight. It was like 7 o'clock. So we understood, you know, it was daylight. It's still hot. When we left the restaurant around 9, it was dark out, and it was still hot.
Yeah, that's another.
Was weird. That was weird that you know, because it's dark. You're thinking, all right, it's going to be a little bit cooler temperatures. Not sweater. Not, you know, I don't need a light long sleeve shirt for this weather. But it's going to be cooler temps. And it was still the same blazing hot that we had experienced going in. Maybe a degree cooler, but that was it.
Yeah, I know exactly what that's like. We had air conditioning problems once in our apartment, and we got to go to a hotel. We're not going to make it. We're not going to make it. We're going to die.
No, that's very true.
You know, we just like, this is not going to happen. It was like mid-July. It was right after 4th of July weekend. And I was like, we're not going to make it.
I'm sure JJ's not going to run into air conditioning problems.
Nope, he will not. He will not. Here's JJ talking about why it is a perfect fit to go to Arizona.
The longer I looked at it, the more it just signs kept pointing back down here. You know, there's a lot of exciting things about what's happening down here in Arizona. I've always said in this league you have to have a quarterback to have a chance, and there's a young, extremely talented quarterback here who can do big things and is going from year two to year three and can take an even bigger jump to continue to grow and progress and be even better. Then you've got DeAndre Hopkins, who's one of the best wide receivers in the league. I'm obviously very familiar with. You've got a defensive scheme and that's led by Vance Joseph, who I was with my first 3 years down in Houston when under Wade Phillips. And Vance runs a similar scheme to Wade, which is a scheme I'm very familiar with and very comfortable with and excited to play in.
So those three things are great, right? I mean, those, you know, he's got a young quarterback. You know, you got to need one to win. A defensive scheme and a coordinator he's familiar with. He likes DeAndre Hopkins, a player he played with. But without sort of the familiarity with teammates, what he just described could be Buffalo. I mean, outside of Vance Joseph and DeAndre Hopkins, people he knew,
yeah,
right, that he had relationships with. You got to take that. If you just took that out of the equation, well, he could have gone to Buffalo. Right?
But I mean, maybe he just didn't want to be in the AFC anymore.
It's possible.
Because you got to run into the Chiefs juggernaut.
That's what we said yesterday, yeah. Right? Which is the NFC right now, does not have that overwhelming dominant team you have to judge your team against. Right? When you put together your team, like Urban Meyer, right? Like when Urban Meyer sat down with Shad Khan to say, how are you going to make the Jaguars a contender? Urban probably had to get around the Kansas City problem in the AFC, right? We hope to have a quarterback just as good as Patrick Mahomes. And that's kind of the standard right now in the AFC. In the NFC, that doesn't exist. It just doesn't exist. I mean, You are getting Super Bowl participants from everywhere, from every division. We have seen it over the last 10 years, and it's coming from teams that are not the number one seed. They're just coming from teams who get into the playoffs and become red hot. Some teams struggle because of injury and get healthy and then just walk their way into the Super Bowl. So again, that's what I was cautioning people yesterday. Don't look at Arizona as this 8-8 team that, you know, you and I talked about this last year many times. There were games where Arizona looked great and we loved them and we thought, hey, look, there is something going on here that is really exciting. They may not be able to win the division or maybe make the playoffs, but they're growing. And then Kyler Murray got hurt. He got hit hard in a game against Seattle. And then all of a sudden, they didn't look so good. They weren't playing very well. All of a sudden they were losing some games and their record was starting to reflect that. Arizona is as, in terms of building, in terms of the things that people like about them, There is much optimism of Arizona going to the postseason as most teams in the NFC. And J.J. Watt is not trying to catch on to the dominating team in the NFL and ride that train to a Super Bowl. He's not trying to figure out, like in the NBA, how do I get on the Lakers, right? He's not doing that. He is figuring out, all right, I've got a couple of years left. I want to be on a team that can contend with me participating in the contention process, meaning I'm not just some guy that's going to come in to fill a role every now and then. Like, hey, look, it's a run situation, so JJ, get in there. He wants to be in there on every snap. He wants to play all 16 games. He wants to be a participant in a defense that when they say Arizona's defense ranks in the top three in this, or top two in this, or top five in this, you say, hey, it's Chandler Jones and JJ Watt, and here are all these other participants. That's what he wants. But also, you need a quarterback. Here's what he said about Kyler Murray.
But I've obviously seen his career. He's had an unbelievable career. He's an incredible athlete, and what he's been able to accomplish, he's been a winner at every stage of his life. And that's not a coincidence. You're a winner because of the way that you work and because of the aura that you give off and because of the talent that you have. And I think that he has all of those things, and he's going to continue to win and continue to have success. And that's a part of the reason that I'm here. I told him yesterday in a text, I said, I'm here because I believe in you. And so I'm here. You have to have a quarterback in this league to have a chance, and he's our guy, and I'm looking forward to going out there and playing with him.
All right, we'll hear more from J.J. Watt as we continue. Again, on Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That's Ron with two N's. More on J.J.'s decision to go to Arizona as he speaks on it. Next on Wake Up Call.
listening to Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Home loans that fit your life. Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, we got one more clip from J.J. Watt, who spoke yesterday on his decision to play for the Arizona Cardinals. So, little background, in case you kind of missed it. There was this faux pas on Twitter, this fake J.J. Watt sort of Peloton profile.
Yeah, KJ
right?
Watt.
KJ Watt, and then people were like tweeting that and having fun with it, but J.J. Watt said, don't listen to anybody but me. Don't listen to any, you know, because he knew there's people fishing around trying to get the information. So he made the announcement with a picture of him wearing an Arizona Cardinals shirt while lifting weights. Here's J.J. explaining the shirt.
At the very end, when I decided that Arizona was the place, we realized how quiet it had truly been on that front. And I said, I think I'm going to announce this one on my own. Take control of your own narrative as a player. And so I had actually a few – this is kind of funny. It's kind of stupid too, but whatever. A few days earlier, we had known like kind of the final, you know, four or five teams. We had an idea of who the final four or five teams were. So I had shirts for each team ordered just in case, you know, the situation arose. But we were trying to keep this so quiet that I didn't trust whoever at the packaging facility would not see my name on the package and put two and two together. And so I had my brother's high school friend order, use his credit card and his address, and he shipped the shirts to his house. And then he brought them over to my house so that we could make this all happen. So shout out to Doug and Joe for making this happen. I appreciate you guys. They're the true brains behind the shirt that I wore for the workout.
That seems legitimate to me, don't you think?
It does.
That seems like a legitimate thing you would do.
Yeah. I mean,
because if you want to control the narrative, then you would think, what could go wrong if I want to control the narrative?
I mean, it's not like his name is like John Smith. You know, I mean, or a common name where you wouldn't put two and two together. You see J.J. Watt on the shipping label, you're going to start thinking like, well, why is he ordering just these four shirts?
Exactly.
That's kind of weird.
Exactly. So that seems like a legit thing to do. That seems like that's something if I was in his position and I sat down and I went, look, I don't want any leaks. I don't want Adam Schefter to get this before me. I don't want Jay Glazer to get this before me, but I do want to announce it in my own way. So a shirt would be cool. And then either you or somebody in your camp goes, yeah, but you can't order those shirts. Okay. How do we get those shirts to us without anybody knowing about, we got to find a friend of a friend of your brother, somebody that is kind of unrelated to you in whatever capacity. So we can't send it to Derek Watt either. So we're going to send it to somebody else, somebody that can't immediately put it together. And that seems like a smart strategy on his part.
Yeah. Send it to two high school buddies of your brother that no one would know.
Exactly.
You wouldn't recognize that name, and maybe now you will.
So now we all have a job to do, and that is to think about our lives and who would we send a shirt to if we were J.J. Watt? What person in our lives would you say, like, my brother's friends that still like me, like, would be willing to participate in this? Like, who would it be?
Well, okay, here's something curious. You said they paid with their credit card. You think you can reimburse them?
Oh, I hope he paid him double. Said, listen, the shirt's going to cost you $30. I'll give you $100.
Yep. And, I'll cover the gas for the delivery fee.
Right, exactly.
Because they delivered to his house.
I'm going to cover everything. So you just, you know, I got $500. Is that good? And dinner for two for you and your girlfriend, wife, whoever it is, your significant other. I'll give you, that's what you do. Good for J.J. Watt. So he's off to Arizona now, and he's happy, and everybody's excited for him. And, you know, I said this at the time. He asked and received his release. I've seen this happen where beloved people for certain teams in certain cities, you feel like, man, it's never going to win here. We'd love for him to win somewhere else. That feels like J.J. Watt. Feels like J.J. Watt had that. You know, where James Harden sort of whined and cried his way out of Houston, J.J. Watt's like, you know, I tried my best, but I only got a certain window of time, and this ain't working here. I got to get out of here. And good for him. By the way, I heard that they might be retiring James Harden's number for the Rockets. Is that true?
Yes.
Is that a story?
But not right now, because the Nets are set to come to Houston and play.
Tonight.
tonight, but they're not retiring it tonight. They're going to retire when the career is said and done, which, you know, is kind
of... What do they do there?
It's kind of odd because there's a lot of people are still on the fence about Harden and the way he left.
If he had won a championship there, I would have said sure, but he didn't.
Yeah.
He did not win a championship.
I guess he's one of the all-time great Rocket players.
I guess so,
sure.
Because
they had a long list.
It's going to be weird, though, because Houston did win titles in the 90s.
But speaking of jerseys and stuff like that, going back to J.J. Watt, you saw that he's going to be wearing 99.
Yeah, and that's unretired.
Yeah. The family gave him permission.
Sorry, man. I kind of agree with the sentiment of once you retire a number, you've retired a number.
Yeah.
Like, what's the point? If you can just take it out of retirement at any time, what's the point?
But don't you find it hard to retire numbers in the NFL? Because unless we're ever going to go triple digits. I mean, I find that in all sports.
I feel like there's a lot, like very few teams will have, you know, 50 players that they'll retire the number for. It's very like you get usually about 10. But you're right. The more we progress, the more you add on.
Aren't
the more
Yankees
it's
halfway
like
there already?
Oh, the Yankees are done with their. They're almost done with their single digits.
Yeah, well, I think they are.
I think they are. I don't think there's a single digit that's available if you are a young Yankee great like Jeter was.
I don't think you can find a number under 11 or 12.
Yeah, I think that's it. So, you know, but
yeah, Jeter was the last one.
I agree with you. It is going to get to a point where you just can't do it anymore, right? I mean, you can't. You just got to go. Hey, look, we can't retire numbers.
You know.
Why don't you just say, hey, the Ring of Fame, you don't have to worry about that. Or some sort of Hall of Fame, you don't have to worry about that.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, retiring numbers seems like it was cool 40 years ago. When you like you said, you felt like there's just too many numbers. Like, we're never going to have 20, 30 players retiring their jerseys enough to... Because the NFL, you are assigned a number group based on your position. So if you have too many good wide receivers, you're going to be diving into other number groups. But at the same time,
you think about
50
it, like,
years from now, you might go, yeah, we can't.
I'll look at the Cowboys, right? You know, they have the Ring of Honor. They're not retiring numbers. They have the Ring of Honor. But if you notice, a lot of their great wide receivers always have 88.
Yeah, well, that's a great. Just do it that way.
Drew Pearson. 88. Michael Irvin, 88. Who is it? CeeDee Lamb now is 88. Dez Bryant wore 88.
Well, yeah, and they ceremoniously gave CeeDee Lamb 88, right? Yeah. Remember the big deal they gave it to him when he was like going to be the up-and-coming new Cowboy wide receiving superstar? Here's 88, and if you know Cowboy history, CeeDee Lamb, you know what this number means. Here you go. Yeah, that's exactly.
But on that same token, it would be weird to see any Niners quarterback wearing 16.
Sure. Of course not. Yeah. It's like Elway in 7.
Yeah.
Why would you?
Yeah, you can't do that, right?
Just can't do that. You know, I remember when I was in Florida, when I was dating my wife, Florida had Danny Werfel, and he wore number 7. And I remember Jesse Palmer, I think, got 7 almost like a couple of years later. And I remember thinking, you would do that? Like, I know they don't really retire jersey numbers in college because you have like 100 kids on the roster. But I thought, why would you give a kid 7 almost immediately after Danny Werfel won a Heisman and led you to a national championship?
You know why?
Just calm that number down just a little bit.
Because the number was available.
Right, sure.
Danny Werfel wasn't there anymore. He didn't have claims to 7. Maybe all the other numbers were already taken.
He didn't care. So he's like, just take it. Whatever. So, but I agree with you. Just easy on the retirement numbers. Yeah. Because you know why? And this is a perfect example. As great as whoever it is that you're honoring with your team with that number, unless they're on the upper echelon, you never know who may come. Who you may sign that you were like, yeah, we'd like to give him this number because that's his number. You know?
Exactly. I mean, J.J. Watt. You think the Cardinals ever thought they'd have a chance at J.J. Watt? No, everyone thought J.J. Watt would just retire as a Texan, maybe with a ring.
Yeah.
Maybe with all the accolades that, I mean, he deserves. And, I mean, we already know he's going to go into the Hall of Fame someday.
Well, that's what Michael's pointing this out on Twitter. Joe Theismann unretired his number for Dwayne Haskins, who was... Right? Now, at least you're doing it for J.J. Watt. I mean, J.J. Watt's going to Canton.
That's probably easier for that family to go, oh, yeah, you can unretire my number.
Joe Theismann's probably like, I gave up what for who? He couldn't he couldn't last 10 seconds with this organization. Yikes. Now I share the number with him.
He disgraced it.
I at least won a Super Bowl. You know, John Riggins handing the ball off on a beautiful run against the Dolphins in Super Bowl 17. But Dwayne Haskins didn't do anything. He's now on the Steelers.
That's right, he is. That's your next quarterback. That's
my quarterback of the future.
Roethlisberger's replacement. So good luck with that.
Good luck with that is right. Unbelievable.
I forgot the Steelers already solved their quarterback issue.
Cute. Oh, you know what? Finally, you remember I told you I'm on this like Steelers message board fun Facebook groups?
Yeah.
Finally. And it took, I mean, look, everybody drinks the Kool-Aid on these things and it can get really, I kind of had to get out of them because there were just too many personal attacks on people who would just question anything. And finally, somebody posted, "Hey, does anybody realize that the quarterbacks in our division are all really young and good?" And I was like, "See, I've been saying, yes, ours is going to be 39. And everybody else is in their 20s. Lamar Jackson, Joe Burrow, and Baker Mayfield. Yes, time to get a younger quarterback. It's about time you people got out of your black and gold colored glasses and realized what's going on in the division. It's not going to be as easy to win down the road. Still clinging on to quarterbacks. Quarterback like Ben Roethlisberger. Yeah, I don't know what they're going to do, but it better not be Dwayne Haskins or we're never going to be competitive. All right, on Twitter again, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That's Ron with two N's. Spell it. For those of you in Hawaii listening to us on KGU, if you want to hit Ron, you got to spell it with two N's. It's unique, and we discussed this when we first started the show, so we're kind of letting you in on a little thing. It's a unique way to spell it, but make sure you spell it or some other Ron Culver is going to get the tweets, and you don't want that. You know, because then he'll tell you what's the deal. Oh, you must mean.
And you know what? He doesn't want that.
And he doesn't want that either.
I don't know who it is, but he doesn't want that. If you have hate mail towards me, you've been sending it to him all this time.
That's exactly right.
If you're looking
right
at him like, oh, that Ron's a buffoon, I'm going to let him know. Well, yes. You let the wrong Ron know, and I'll just keep doing what I'm doing.
Sure. And if you are a new listener, we'll say hi. We don't have a problem with that whatsoever. We're more than happy to do it.
Jump in the pool. The water's fine.
Exactly. It's Wake Up Call Sports Map Radio.
This is Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us as we continue. It is Wake Up Call in this hour of Wake Up Call, presented by Rocket Mortgage. Need a mortgage that fits your life? Rocket can. Michael on Twitter, he finished watching Ted Lasso, took him until episode 4 to start liking it. Around episode 9, loved it. And the end, having them regulated, proves the show will continue at least 3 seasons.
Spoiler alert!
Second season to move up and third to win the EPL. Yeah, that's true. Spoiler alert. Whatever.
Oh, well.
Do people really, you know,
regulated? That show came out last summer.
I know. If you're not on board, just be on board.
Yeah.
You'll like it. So, yeah,
it doesn't matter if you know the ending. It's still a fun journey.
You know, good for you, Michael, though. On episode 9, I was all in. I was really addicted. I'm glad episode 9, you finally started to love it. It's a good show.
Yeah,
really good show.
I was kind of hooked on episode 1, but I'm a soccer dude, so.
Yeah, that is true. That is true. I am, and you know, I'm usually not a huge fan of sports-themed television programs.
Yeah.
Like, I don't, like, people think, like for example, do you remember Sports Night, that Aaron Sorkin show? I never watched that. And people were surprised because they were like, "You're in the business." I go, "Yeah, I know, but I don't. You know, I need something else."
Like,
I
mean, Make Believe Sports Center?
Yeah, right. Make Believe Sports Center. I'm like, yeah, I don't know why I didn't watch it. I just didn't. It just wasn't part of my schedule, I guess. But I didn't watch a lot of. There was a couple of sports shows that I just didn't. That were based around sports that were like sitcoms that I just didn't gravitate towards. It's not an automatic for me. It's not like, oh, this is a story about a baseball player trying to move up from the minors. It give me something more. I need something more compelling than that. Just because I like baseball doesn't mean I'm instantly going to go towards that. It's the same thing with reality shows, like sports reality shows. I don't mind them, but I need them to be more compelling. If you give me a reality show that's based on something that I may find interesting anyway, I want to know more about, then I'm in. But if you just say, hey, we followed the Toledo Mud Hens for a year, and you'll like that because you like baseball, I may not. I may not want to see it. There's one on what is that thing? IDBM? Is that the thing for actors?
Yeah.
Yeah, IDBM TV. That's on the Sierra Canyon basketball team, the one LeBron James' son is on. Like, they have like a documentary on how popular they are and how they travel all over the place to play basketball.
I find that interesting. I'm kind of curious about that. They're like a superstar high school basketball team that is just filled with kids who have thousands and thousands of Instagram followers and are super popular and signing autographs, and they're on another level of high school athletes and how they struggle with that, but still, you know, whether it's being in school or playing basketball or living up to these expectations. I'm kind of curious about how that goes. But if you followed around a small basketball team from Arkansas, I may not dive into that. Even if it's got a little compelling story behind it, I may not dive into that. But for me, that's why you get the double-edged Ted Lasso love, because I'm not a huge soccer fan and I'm not automatically going to go to a sports show, and it's both of those things, and I loved it. I think it's one of the best sports oriented television shows I've ever seen. You know, I liked Coach with Craig T. Nelson. I thought that was good.
That was done well. Give you a little insight on coaching in college.
Yeah.
The only issue I had is that it always seemed like you only had two coaches.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Every once in a while you would see the other guys, but it was just those two.
Yeah. Like Nick Saban's staff is like a small town.
Exactly. Right.
Right. And then Coach only had those two people.
Was like a grad student.
Right. And one of them was like a grad student as they prepare for the big, huge game on Saturday.
The defensive coordinator was just a grad student.
Coming up, the good, the bad, and the dumb. Our good friend Emery Hunt's going to join us, talk some NFL, and we'll tell you the story of how Scott Drew turned Baylor around after a disastrous scandal that hit the school back in 2003. It's all coming up in Hour 2 next.